Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Dominic Patton.
And I'm Pete Hammond.
And this is the Deadline Podcast TV Talk, our final TV talk of this section of the Emmys this year, the great 2022.
And because of that, we're going to actually tell you, we're going to save you time. On July 12th, when the Emmy nominations come out, you don't have to get up that early to listen to them because we have them. I've got envelopes and things that I can open here and all that, but I don't.
We have snubs and spoilers that we can do for you, surprises.
We know who is going to be nominated, right? Don't we, Dominic? And that's what we're going to talk about. And we're also, after we make these predictions, you're going to hear a snippet of my conversation with the cast and creators of the terrific limited series for Apple TV Plus called We Crashed.
But before we go there, let's start and make some predictions for who will be on that nomination list when the names are announced.
All right. So you have the major categories here. Let's start with limited series, which I think is so prestigious. And, you know, this is where the competition really has gotten fierce in recent years.
Now, there are three names that we're going to say right now, now that are no-brainers.
And it's only five nominees, yeah, unless there's some kind of weird tie to make it say, I don't even think they can do it. They should expand this category tremendously because before we name them, this is ridiculous, folks, that there are 10 in these other, you know, drama and comedy, and there's only five for this, where there is so much amazing work this year. It's a shame. It really is a shame.
So these are the three names that you can literally bet the bank on are going to show up. Dopesick from Hulu, The Dropout from Hulu, and White Lotus from HBO and HBO Max. There is no discussion that they are going to be among these five.
I think I have to agree with you that they are definitely in my top five of predictions here. I think you really would be shocked on Emmy nomination day to see any one of these, which have gotten such attention over and over again. I'd say if one had to drop out, it might be The Dropout, just because the lead character is so unsympathetic, but the show itself.
Peter, unsympathetic lead character is literally the dictionary definition of this category.
I know. I'm just making an argument to make this fascinating to our listeners here. But okay, so those three are locked. So we have two more slots. What do they go to?
Well, what would be two questions for you? What do you think is something that will get it? And what would be your deep wish? The series that maybe hasn't had the best camp, the FYC, maybe hasn't done that, but this is the one you'd love to see there.
Okay. I think the fourth slot will probably go to Netflix's Made, which... is a definitely a very strong series, has a lot to say. Netflix has a lot of votes. They have a lot of, this is their really strongest shot in this category. So I think that that's probably it. Now, if I had my druthers of one that I would put in there, I would put in We Crashed on Apple. Oh. I really thought that was an amusing show to watch. And as it goes along, it gets better and better and more out there. It kept my attention, you know, eight episodes. I really did like that. I don't think it is going to be among the five nominees. I don't think so, but we'll see. But, you know, that's what I would put in. Although, Pam and Tommy, I thought was a hoot too, and they really pulled that off. But the actors, I think, are more likely Possibly. We talked about that last week with that show and those actors, but that's going to be tough too.
I think here's my, I'm pretty sure if you use the criteria and kind of like drill down into the data of what gets in this category, Under the Banner of Heaven.
Okay. All right.
I think that show felt with the amazing Andrew Garfield, who literally, by the way, like can't make a move wrong right now, including when he shows up on the Tonys, I might add, on both sides of the stage.
Yeah.
I think that Under the Banner of Heaven felt like a really beautiful, old school, prestigious limited series. But back in the day when this was like, that was the only show you were going to watch for the next 5 weeks.
Right.
It really had that feel to it. A great crime thriller, philosophical and religious explorations in it, and an amazing cast led by their lead actor. What okay. I really, really would like to see is Stars as Gaslit.
Okay.
With the new way of looking at or getting behind some of the stories we think we know about Watergate, which of course literally is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. Just in fact, just a week or so ago, it was actually the 50th anniversary precisely. Not only giving us new looks on some of the maybe seemingly secondary or forgotten players of Watergate, but tremendous performances by Sean Penn under more prosthetics than you'd ever imagine, true transformation, Julia Roberts as Martha Mitchell, and Dan Stevens as John Dean.
He steals it, yeah.
And Betty Glassman as Mo Dean, who actually steals it for me. I mean, I just thought, I realized that Mo Dean was exactly that good wife. She sat behind him at the testimonies. That I had no idea. And I'm a political junkie. And I had no idea the depth of that story. And the wonderful way the parallels of the two couples were, the way Nixon didn't really show up until the end. Like, it was so well constructed that it took me, and I look, clearly I'm advocating for my own personal demographic, but I thought I knew most of that story. And when people say, oh, you're going to learn the story you don't know.
Yeah.
It was true. I learned a story I didn't know.
Well, now the reason I didn't mention Gaslit when I said because you said my thing that I don't think is going to get in. What is it for that fourth slot? I mentioned the fourth slot would be The Maid, but I do believe the fifth slot, which will get in, is Gaslit, because I think there's a whole vibe out there, because you remember the Watergate break-in was June 17th. That's right after the voting started here for Emmy nomination. So I just think there's something in the ether. There's something going on with this show. Stars has never been in the conversation in these kinds of categories before. And I think if it's ever going to do it, this is the show that'll do it. So I put that in my fifth slot. What is in your fifth slot? What's the last one that actually is going to get nominated?
Well, I don't know if you're going to agree with this. And I'm not necessarily sure I'm committed to this entirely, because I think there's problematic elements to the show, none of which are named Michelle Pfeiffer, I might add. I think maybe...
I know the show you're talking about.
I think maybe Showtime's First Lady.
Really?
Dude, Michelle Pfeiffer, I mean, there is top-tier talent all over that. And for those of you who don't quite know, the show interweaves the tales of Eleanor Roosevelt, Betty Ford, and Michelle Obama. And Michelle Pfeiffer plays Betty Ford. And her performance, already augmented by strong stories around her, basically bookending her with the Roosevelt era and the Obama era, the transformative nature, when we talked, about in Gaslit, tells us about some of the side players of Watergate, you know, the Ford administration is almost like making a joke about, like, you know, let's go talk about, you know, come and talk about hieroglyphics. But this, her story seemed so viscerally elemental, and of what not only a first lady is, but an American woman in a time of transformation. And I'm going to be honest, with a lot of talk about the ERA and a woman's right to choose, incredibly urgent at this particular moment. And the show itself, because of that and because of the strength of it and the way the stories are weaved together, really floats because of that.
Okay. All right. Dominic's five guaranteed nominations are Dope Sick, The White Lotus, The Dropout, Under the Banner of Heaven and The First Lady. Mine are Dope Sick, The White Lotus, The Dropout, Made, and Gaslit. We're going to see what wins there. Now we're going to move on to comedy series, a little easier, I think, here.
Or is it?
I don't know. It's 10, you know, so how could we be that wrong, you know?
Well, and here's the thing. So I'm going to tell you four that I think it's a done deal, okay?
Yeah.
Abbott Elementary, Barry, Hacks, Only Murder in the Building.
Ted Lasso?
Those are my four. Like you don't argue.
I'm not arguing with any of
Ted
those.
Ted Lasso, very strong, but like again, like the world got a lot of Ted Lasso. You know what I mean? Like,
gotta get a nomination at the very least. You know.
I'm just saying what my four are. So what are four that
I will add to that. Obviously, I agree with you. I think those four are definitely in. I would add Curb Your Enthusiasm because it's back. And I do think Curb Your Enthusiasm will get in. That would be a sixth one to that list that I say, because I include Ted Lasso. I think Reservation Dogs will creep in its first year if people got beyond the first episodes. That's one to look for there. Now, I also think the final season of Black-ish will bring that in here as well as a nominee, and possibly Insecure.
I agree on both of those. And I would also add, because we're in final season territory, which is a favorite place for both of us.
Yes.
Better Things.
Okay, that's possible. Grace and Frankie's never made it in.
It's made it in creative arts a number of times, and some acting.
But does it do it? Does it do it? I don't know. There's others. Atlanta.
When you're looking at up against who that show, which is as of right now, it's ended, but as of right now, is the longest running Netflix show ever. 7 seasons, which is kind of 8 because it was truncated by the pandemic, so the last season was split. I see nothing that wouldn't say it could take on every one of those names that we just mentioned.
Okay, all right.
And it's got star power galore, pal.
And there's really good shows here. What We Do in the Shadows is one that could come back into the race this year as well for FX. And Atlanta also can come back into the race. Our only problem, I think, in predicting Atlanta is it's been off for so long, we just don't know the heat level on it again. But there are now 10 nominees.
Well, but I also think one of the issues that might hit with Atlanta, and this is a difficult issue for FX, which is if you watch the final season and the way that Donald Glover and his collaborators worked it out, and it's kind of an anthology and kind of not. I mean, is it a comedy anymore?
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of questions on that one. So here's where
none of which question its genius and creativity and spark. None of it. And it's insight. But I'm one of the world's biggest Atlanta fans. And honestly, I think the Emmys should invent a dramedy category just for it.
And maybe they will someday, you know. Don't forget The Great, too. Although that didn't get nominated its first year, may not again this year. Hard to say. Here's where it probably will wind up. Ted Lasso, Hacks, Barry, Only Murders in the Building, Abbott Elementary, Reservation Dogs, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Black-ish, Insecure, and maybe that Atlanta or What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, somewhere. Your dream, if you had a dream thing to put in there that not on the list of the obvious nominees.
Better Things. Having said that, if the list already includes the final season of Insecure, then Better Things.
Okay, and Better Things. For me, I will tell you, it's nothing we've mentioned. And because I just love this show, and it's just quirky as hell. And it's so funny to me. Schmigadoon. On Apple. I love
that show. Has you written all over it? And has nothing written on over it.
Besides
the fact that there's some very talented people involved. But
oh my god, it's so well.
You are so flying solo here.
And it just got renewed. Although Martin Short, when I did him for Actor's Side, tipped me off on that and said it is renewed. And then it took them about 4 weeks to finally say it. But I'm so happy it's coming back. And look, you know, I know it's a long shot, but Schmigadoon would be my choice. Okay, finally, drama series, marquee category here. We do have 10. I will say that Succession, Squid Game, Ozark, Better Call Saul are the four that I would guarantee nominations for here.
I would add to that Apple TV's Severance and Yellow Jackets from Showtime.
Yellow Jackets. Okay, so that's six. I would agree with you that I think those are strong. Severance and Yellow Jackets are new, so it depends on how many voters have actually seen it. Where is your, when we've talked before about drama series, though, you thought This Is Us could actually
and
win.
And I look, we're talking for a few more minutes. I'm not done. But now that you've juiced it a bit, I think This Is Us. I really do. Look, the other thing too is, with all the television, full bow to John Langroff to tell us about how much there is every year. It's easy sometimes as shows get past, usually about the second season, we all have a tendency to background them a little bit. New shows come along, other things take over, global pandemic gets everyone's attention for a little bit, you know. But I came back to This Is Us for the final season as a viewer.
Yeah. You know,
we covered it a lot on Deadline. Nellie did an amazing job. Nellie Andreeva did an amazing job covering that final season. That final season was really good. You know, and you and I have talked about this many times. You know, final seasons can be, sometimes you just want it over at one point because it's just not working. It was very well done. And it also did, and I love this because I just love this, which is it did the 6 feet under thing, which it kind of not as precisely as 6 feet under did. And by that, I mean narratively, but it leaned into like, what's going to happen next to these people? Who are they going to be next? What incredibly large house on Pennsylvania Avenue may one of them live in or not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I felt like there'd be a lot of love for This Is Us anyways. I think there might be a lot of respect for This Is Us because of the way they said goodbye.
It could be, and I agree with you. I do think that will come back into the game and be nominated here. I think I'm going to say it, even though they've ignored it, but it's such a popular show. Yellowstone will probably get a nomination here as well. And Euphoria also.
I want to hear what you think your long shot, but warm to the heart show would be.
Well, okay. One that I would love to see, as you know, I'm a big fan of The Morning Show. It was not nominated. It was nominated for 8 Emmys its first year. I just thought it is comfort television for me to watch. I just love it. It's so well acted, and I wish it got more genuine respect for what they're doing. Women behind the camera, in front of the camera, the way it's produced is really the kind of thing I think deserves Emmy recognition. Also, my other comfort show is The Good Fight, which never gets nominated here.
And always should.
Always should. So if you ask me too, that I'd like to put in there that I have my doubts that they will, it would be those two. We'll see where they go with it. What's yours?
Well, it would have been a limited series had they not now renewed it for up to 4 seasons, but it would be, and I say this because this is the name of the first season. The second season will have a different name because it's based on the books, the Gary Oldman, Down and Dirty MI5 spy series Slow Horses from Apple.
Yeah, well, that is in this category still, isn't it? Or did they move it?
Well, I don't know now, you know, because
there it is.
It was a 6 episode, you know, one and done, I thought. And then it turned out, actually, we filmed 2 seasons back to back.
Yes, that is true.
And then they came out and said, actually, we're going to do a 3rd and 4th. There are 8 books in the series of Nick Herron's book.
You remember that was what happened with Downton Abbey. It was in the limited series or mini series at the time. And then, you know, they said, it's a regular series. So they moved it there. I haven't heard their verdict on this particular one. I thought it was in drama series. Actually, it is in drama series.
Yeah. And I think if you haven't seen this, look, Gary Oldman has got a lot of great performances over the years, won an Oscar, but this is one of his all-time best because he is, and I had a very great, I had a great conversation, in my opinion, with him a few months ago when they had the season one finale. And I feel like the energy and the explosiveness and the uniqueness we saw when he came to be known to many of us in Sid and Nancy, I feel like now we're at the other end of a career and we're seeing all the wisdom, experience, patience, and ingenuity that an actor like him can bring, that Gary Oldman can bring to this. And he brings it. He brings his A game. And watching him and Kristen Scott Thomas again after them as Mr. and Mrs. Winston Churchill, I pay for that.
Like we say, those Emmy voters love those Oscar winners. So we'll see. So it is Succession, Squid Game, Ozark, Better Call Saul, Yellowstone, Yellow Jacket, Severance, This Is Us, Euphoria, and Stranger Things? Maybe? I don't know.
My issue with Stranger Things is my issue that I think that people are or are not going to have with Squid Game. And I might be wrong. I might be reading this from
We don't know.
But there's a lot of violence. And I think it'll turn some people off.
It may, but it had all those nominations, you know, when it came on. And it got the best reviews it's gotten for this particular season. You know, there is also, we didn't mention another one like Slow Horses, I thought was strictly a limited series. It is actually now a series, Winning Time. The story of the Lakers, that's almost in comedy, but it's not. It's in drama. So that could creep in here too. So those could be, we're edging around. We're not giving you the actual thing, even though we know we're going to let you find out on July 12th when all this happens. But before that, I want to play a little bit of my conversation with the creators as well as Jared Leto on We Crashed, my hoped for limited series that I mentioned here. Isn't that convenient? Here it is. And Lee, you know, you worked for years on The Office, a different kind of show involving office space, and a terrific movie that he wrote called Bad Words, Bad Teacher, which is really good. I love that movie. But talk about what you wanted from this show, from your point of view, to make it, because it's a very much a relationship show here between, and we should mention the wonderful Anne Hathaway, who's so good in this as well, the two of you together. So what was your goal here?
You know, I've always been fascinated in rise and fall stories and just been captivated by them my entire career, both as a fan and, you know, as a writer. And what I think separated this story for me, you know, when I listened to the podcast and kind of started doing the research, was this love story at the center of it. And that felt like an incredibly unique and exciting way as a storyteller to enter the story. And so when Drew and I first started talking about it, you know, it felt like, you know, people have been asking us, you know, why do you decide to focus on the love story, you know, rather than on the business story? And for us, they're inextricably linked. And so there is no WeWork without Adam, but we also believe there's no WeWork without Rebecca. And that as a way into a business story it felt really original and exciting.
You know, you, Jared, have invested and have been fascinated by all these kind of startups and Silicon Valley and all of that. So were you familiar with this going into it and this kind of thing? Did you ever look into that as one of the things you wanted to do?
I actually did. I remember asking about it at a certain point. You know, there was a lot of excitement, energy, and heat around the company. And I asked, you know, I did ask a couple of people about it, but I'm glad that I didn't sit with Adam, because he probably would have, you know, seduced me, because he's such a powerful person. Not like that guy. There's always a couple, you know, but no, he's so seductive and he's such a great salesman. I really thought, you know, he probably would have, you know, walked away with my life savings. But let me just say, you know, he did build something remarkable. He did build, like, I had walked in WeWorks before this, and I was always pretty astounded. Anyone been in a WeWork or worked at a WeWork before? It's a great business. And the funny thing is, like, in this post-COVID world, it's a really great business and they're doing really well. And, you know, it's hard to talk about these characters sometimes because my job is to find understanding, you know, to have empathy and to look at a person with their flaws and all and find a heart and a soul and a spirit. And, you know, I found that in the character, and I'm really glad that I had this opportunity. And I just have to say to Lee and Drew, thank you for the faith and, you know, for the opportunity. I really feel like this was one of the most amazing experiences of my life.
Oh, thank you. We feel the same.
Thank you so much.
He was always your first choice.
Yes, we joke about it.
I'm going to drop the mic and leave now. Thank you.
He was, though, right?
We joke, but it's true. We had a picture of Jared up when we were kind of trying to create the character, looking for inspiration. Truly, truly.
You know, you hear that sometimes, you're like, shit. What does that mean exactly?
It's true. And when we were trying to kind of find the character, you know, you kind of want to think of a person who could play it. And so Jared and Annie, it was to have gotten either one of them would have been a dream come true. To get both of them was just an embarrassment of riches.
It's amazing. This keeps flashing. Please wrap up. But I can't before I ask you something here. My favorite line in the whole thing, when he's just nothing is too much for this guy in terms of his visions of money and things. When you do that line where you just go 3-0-0-0, you know, 3-0-0. That is like such a great line reading of a guy who it really tells you everything you need to know about him in a weird way.
I don't remember what you're talking about, but
it's so good.
Oh, is that when they're writing on the face?
The value,
The return.
I have to say, like every take, I did something completely different. So I have no idea, like. I mean, I was just out of my mind, and these guys had to deal with
that.
Like,
it wasn't a line reading. It was fantastic.
It was so
improv.
Good. I mean, really, I go like, wow.
Oh my God, we crashed there, my friend. All right. Well, thank you for crashing with us today. We really appreciate you guys joining us for this episode of the Deadline Podcast TV Talk. I say this every week. Look, this is our de facto season finale today. We really appreciate all you guys listening in with us. You know, writing to us. Sometimes yelling at us through text, emails, and DMs, whatever. But we always appreciate it, and we appreciate all of you, and we ask you, if you haven't, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you never miss an episode. And remember, we might be back soon.
Yes. Yes, we will. And, of course, you can find us all the time with all of our television breaking news coverage at Deadline.com.
Thank you for joining us. We will see on the other side, Emmy voters and lovers. Until then, adios.